All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lindsay.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Providing up-to-the-minute information.
The absence of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only
on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending.
3, 2.
David Lickin.
So good to have you with us. That opening cracks me up. Anyway, we appreciate you joining us. It's Monday, December 11th, 2017, as we get ready to wrap up this year and get ready for the new year. I hope your year-end planning and Christmas parties are all going well. We had a planning session to end all planning sessions last week in Atlanta. It was a great time, and it's good to be here with you and everyone that dials in and calls this one of their ways of getting information on what's happening in the market. We have as our special guest today Ryan Leopold. Very excited to have him here with us. He's with CardTap, and it is another way in which you can connect with your customers. Again, we're talking about social media. How can you more effectively connect with your customers? And so there's some effective new tools. I can't wait to share this one with you. Also, I want to just say a special thank you to all of our sponsors. And again, there's so many of them out there that we are so grateful for. Yeah, I don't know what to say. It's just, we're very appreciative. So RCMI, which is the creator of the new innovative RateStar program. Motivity Solutions, providing real-time reporting and dashboard scorecards so you could track what's going on in a real-time manner. Velma stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform getting your word out. We use them here on the radio. It's a great tool. Brent Emler and the team there do a good job. Simplifile, a real-time electronic communication exchange between you and your closing agents. Very effective in keeping yourself and them informed of what's going on, especially there are some twists and turns in a transaction, so you can communicate in real time. All right, then the Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network, very excited to have them as a part of it. Again, it's oftentimes not what you know, but it's who you know, and you need to get into these kind of collaboratives to be able to network with people that can make such a big difference in your industry or in your business that are industry leaders. Then Finastra, the third largest fintech company in the world with 10,000 employees in 42 countries, serving 9,000 companies worldwide. So really appreciate you being here with us. The upcoming conferences, we have the MBA's Mergers and Acquisitions Workshop that's coming up at the Ritz-Carlton, just preceding the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference there on Amelia Island, also starting that same day. As the M&A conference wraps up, then we get right into the Independent Mortgage Bankers Association. We'll be there. The Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference put on by the Mortgage Bankers Association. I'm sure Rob's going to talk about that as well. Then also the National Mortgage Servicing Conference and Expo at the Gaylord in Grapevine, Texas, up in Dallas area, greater Dallas area, and as well as February 11th through the 14th. We have the Multifamily Housing Convention that's going on in San Diego at the Marriott Marquis in the Marriott. So more on that, but we want to say a special thank you also to our valued contributors, Alice, Andy, and of course, Alan's new to the program, and we're very excited to have them all here with us. Joe Farr, of course, giving us a market update. He's actually sounding a little bit better, so we'll get to him in just a minute. But without further ado, let's get over to listen to what Rob has for us with the MBA.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last Tuesday, the Senate Banking Committee advanced a bipartisan regulatory relief bill by a vote of 16-7. The legislation contains several of MBA's priorities, including SAFE Act amendments to create a transitional authority to originate loans, consumer protections for PACE loans, relief for HMDA reporting requirements for some institutions, as well as important fixes to TRID. In research, the weekly mortgage application survey showed that mortgage apps increased 4.7% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dropped to 4.19% from 4.2%. Also last week, MBA held its 2017 Diversity and Inclusion Summit. Leaders in the real estate finance industry came to Washington to hear from FHFA Commissioner Mel Watt and Mark Moriel, president of the CEO of the Urban League. Thanks for joining us this week on the MBA's Mortgage Minute.
We appreciate Rob very much for being here with us. Let's get over to Les Parker and get a macro view of what's going on in the world of finance and what could be impacting our interest rates as we look forward and head into the new year. So, Les Parker, appreciate you bringing us a macro report on the markets.
Dave, Loan Logics appreciates the opportunity to present Market Logics Live.
No one knows, never will.
Think Traders Lament. No one knows, never will. Mostly old, but mostly new. What do you say, what do you do when it all comes down? In Germany, SPD leader Martin Schulz called for the United States of Europe by 2025. We agree that it's the best hope for Europe, but the odds of it happening are the same as the Fed not tightening this week. Proof of a distorted market by the G4 central banks is the 10-year at 2.38, the Italian 10-year at 1.71, the Japanese 10-year at 0.05, and the UK below 1.30. No inflation threat from commodities sets the stage for the 10-year Treasury notes to return to the bullish camp. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
All right, so I'm going to have to talk to Les. That song does not ring a bell with me, so he does such a good job, and it's certainly not Christmas, so we'll give him a bad time about that, but it's good to have Les Parker and his perspective. And it's also good to have Joe Farr of MBS Quoteline joining us, Joe. So it's good to hear your voice, and even though you sound like the cold, is you're sounding a little bit better, but in one sense,
well,
but
you.
At least you're not hacking.
Well, I might. I'll mute before I do, I think.
Well, it's good to have you here with us. Give us an update on what's going on
today. I've been trying to see what the 10-year auction was like. Just had that and the 3-year auction, but something's driven MBS prices a little lower here just over the last few minutes. And my guess, it's that. We're sitting at down 9 basis points or 3/32 on the day. And, you know, we've seen a deterioration of prices since the early morning when the reports of a bomb going off in the New York City subway caused a brief flight to safety. And that pretty quickly reversed itself. But the 10-year had been up most of the morning, and it's now just about flat on the day. So if I see something on the 10-year, I'll report it before the end of my presentation
good.
Here. So JOLTS came out this morning. You know, the one you like. You like JOLTS now, right?
Yep,
it
I
was
like
pretty
JOLTS.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a little below expectations, but it came in at right at 6 million job openings, which is a little down from last month, but still a very good number.
Still a good number, yeah,
so,
strong number.
Looking at last week, mortgage rates ended the week a little lower. Nice to see. The jobs report was pretty much on target. Net new jobs were a little better than expected at 228,000, and the average hourly earnings, though, fell a little bit short. The effect of the report on MBS prices, mortgage rates, was minimal. Earlier in the week, ISM services came out. It was a little more than expected. During the week, the preliminary look at consumer sentiment in December was below that of November. In Washington, of course, we all know that Congress passed a 2-week extension to the bill funding the government, which was nice to see that got pushed down the road. And there was no new news on tax reform. So it was really a pretty quiet week last week. Now, this one could be quite different. There's a lot of big news this week. First of all, the Fed meeting's on Wednesday. They're expected to release their statement at 2 o'clock Eastern time. That's going to be followed by a press conference. There is a very little chance that there won't be a Fed funds rate increase at this meeting. In fact, according to the CME, it's like 100%. So the shocker would be if there's not a rate increase. What's going to be interesting in this meeting is the Fed's projections for future rate increases. Right now, there's about, you know, there are a lot of people think 3, some people think 2 rate hikes in 2018. So The Fed dot plots may tell us a little bit more about that. Now, there's also an ECB meeting on Thursday of this week. They have said what they're going to say about their bond program, but there's been a pretty nice improvement in the economic activity in the Eurozone, and we'll be anxious to see what they say about that strength and if that makes them appear more hawkish to the investment community. Could be not so good for long-term mortgage rates. The economic data that comes out this week, it starts tomorrow with PPI, CPI to follow on Wednesday, and retail sales on Thursday, industrial production on Friday. But, you know, the central bank's going to be the big news this week. So pay attention Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning.
I'm on your screen looking at MBS Worldline. It looks like things just continue to fall. So
I'm guessing it was not a great auction. But again, I hadn't seen that. So.
Yeah. Well, it will. You know, I don't know how anyone runs a business when you have people trying to blow them. How does someone strap a pipe bomb to themselves in New York and survive? That's as much as curious as what the heck. Yeah, the guy survived. It went off prematurely. So what all reports are that I was hearing so far. So we'll see. But it's interesting to see the markets. But we have so much craziness going on out there, and all of which could have an impact immediately on interest rates. And if you don't have a system, folks, like MBS Quoteline or a resource like Joe Farr and his team behind you, you're missing out. It's clear, concise. It's got a great website, and I'm thrilled to have you here and be a part of the radio, my friend. We do a lot of things together, and I really appreciate you, man. So we'll look forward to having you back next week and give us an update and hope you're feeling even better then. But thanks so much, Joe, for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
It is always. Folks, check it out, mbsquoteline.com, or get a hold of Joe at 512-637-1763. We're going to be right back after a word from Velma. Appreciate them so much.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, VELMA.com.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Yes, the power of the network, very effective, and Velma, very effective in getting the word out. Let's get over to Alice Alvey. Alice, I was thinking about all that's been going on at the NBA and some of the legislation and want to get your perspective on it all.
Yeah, hi, Dave. It's Senate Bill 2155, and as you heard quickly in the MBA introduction that was a little earlier in the program, MBA has definitely played a role in several of the provisions. So what the Senate bill does is it pulls together many of the bills that we've been talking about throughout the year. So it pulls in SAFE, HMDA relief, and the TRID fix. So let me give you a quick rundown of what those mean.
I like that. The TRID fix.
The TRID fix, right. The only way to fix it is to just do away with it, but keep the forms, I think. I just don't think we could survive another form change. But
no.
So from the SAFE vision, it really would be a good thing to see the transitional licensing put in place. Interestingly enough, some mortgage brokers don't like that concept because obviously for them it makes for more competition if folks from the banks can move into their area of expertise a little more quickly and efficiently. So I thought that was an interesting viewpoint, but I think overall for the industry, you know, loan originators need to be able to have flexibility in their jobs and their employment, and
yep.
I think it's a good thing. For those of you who may not be, you know, too familiar with the PACE, the Energy Efficiency Program, a couple of things coming out on that, even from FHA. So FHA is saying that starting in January, they are no longer going to insure loans that are subject to any kind of PACE lien, right? So the energy efficiency money that might be available through different communities becomes a lien on the property, and that lien can transfer. It runs with the property, not with the borrower. So as a side note, FHA has said they are no longer going, and actually this is a 30-day comment period, but they don't want to do these loans anymore new or new purchases that may have this lien out there because it is a superior lien. They will look at refinances that are going to pay off any type of PACE financing, but that's good for anybody who has a lien on the property that's from someone previously putting in some energy efficiency improvements. So there is some language in this bill as well addressing PACE financing. The TRID fix is really about trying to eliminate double counting broker compensation. So for those of you who are familiar with the rule, there is a disparity in how broker compensation is almost counted twice within determining if the loan is within acceptable thresholds before redisclosing. And so that is a good fix. I think it does level the playing field, and everyone's been all for that change as well. I think the biggest thing for me within this bill is the safe harbor for portfolio loans. It's going to open up a big door for any institution that's $10 billion or less in assets, because they'll be able to retain their portfolio loans as non-QM and basically throw out Appendix Q. So Appendix Q is the list of debt-to-income ratio guidelines. How do you calculate the ratio? That's the piece that sets the 43% debt ratio cap, and then what type of income documentation and stability of income assessments are allowed. So if you say throw that out, portfolio lenders can do what they want, whatever they feel works for their market and is stable, and they can prove it obviously in loan performance, then that does open a big non-QM market for those portfolio entities. The loans are non-transferable other than in a sale or a loss of that institution. So they can't originate those and then someone else go buy them and keep them in their books if they like the spread. So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, because that will open up a non-QM market for especially the credit unions and community banks. So those to me are the highlights within that, Senate Bill 2155. The House version isn't really out there yet in the same form. So it's got to make its way through the Senate. We'll see how it ends up, and then we'll watch for whether or not it'll move through the House. But right now it looks like it's got about a 48% pass rate, if you believe the government website. So that's my report for today, Dave. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to just throw in one other quick note for folks. It's coming up to HMDA time. We'll have another show next week. I'll remind you again, but January 1st, 2018 is your new date for making sure your HMDA applications are collecting all the new race, sex, and ethnicity information. And then we obviously get our new FHA loan amounts effective that day. So that's a good thing, too. And that's my report for today.
Yeah, good job. I've got a quick interesting comment that came in for you right now, and this is the text. I'm a little nervous that our company isn't doing HMDA, and I think we should be. What are the consequences if we're required to? Who needs to, who doesn't need to, and what are the consequences for those that don't? Woo, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that came from a loan originator.
Well, if it's, you have two factors you weigh out, right? If I'm a lender in a bank, basically the main criteria is, do I close loans where I made the underwriting decision? So that's usually your first step. And did I do that? And in today's rules, that's, let's just for argument's sake, there's a few other checkpoints and asset checkpoints. But, if you do that more than 100 times in a year and, you're a decent-sized company, then chances are you could very well file a HMDA report. Certainly there are different guidelines for banks versus lenders, and what you should do is go read the HMDA Getting It Right book. There actually is a really clear, I think, clear spread flow chart that shows you, and if you answer all the questions yes or no, then it'll tell you where you end up if you had to report. The fines and penalties, if you should have been reporting and you didn't, will depend on, obviously, what you should have known, how big is your shop, what controls were you missing, and those fines can be pretty stiff. So certainly, we can help you. You can, Andy Schell. Andy, you do consulting on this as well, right, for HMDA reporting? So
we do. When Dave was asking that question, I was cringing. Actually, I made a noise, but I had my mic off. Good thing.
Yeah, it's shocking that people don't know, and we cover that as well. So you have any questions, you get a hold of us. We will direct you to the right place to get that. Alice used to do that, but now she is Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, and so she's not available to consult, but she's always available to try to help people along the way, right?
Yeah, well, thanks for that reminder, too, Dave. I wasn't sure who did what and hummed us, so lots of
resources. Yeah, we've got lots of resources on it on the show, and MBS does a good job. We do a good job on it, so lots of resources to cover that for sure. Alice, thank you so much. Say hi to Bill Cosgrove and company there, and look forward to seeing you. Are you going to be at the IMB conference? I was wondering about that, but also someone else sent that other email, asked if you were going to be there.
Yes, I am.
Good. We will see you there. Looking forward to it. Folks, we're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor, Finastra. David Bolin, what you got for us?
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Finastra is extremely proud to be a key sponsor of the Lickin' On Lending Program. Known formerly as D&H, Finastra's global lending division provides end-to-end solutions and innovation to the full spectrum of lenders, including independent mortgage bankers, community banks and credit unions, and even the largest banks globally. Learn more about how you provide an innovative digital experience for your borrowers by leveraging our multi-channel point-of-sale solution, which includes the new MortgageBot Mobile, by visiting our website at finastra.com.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate it. We also work with Simplifile. I love those guys. They do a great job of helping you communicate with your agents and your closing agents. So let's run over and get a quick word. And if you haven't got a hold of either of these two sponsors or any of our sponsors, I encourage you to do so.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to Simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Nancy Alley, good lady, fun company to work with, good people, great service. So we appreciate them being a sponsor. Let's get over to Alan Pollock. Alan and I are together in Atlanta. He's a part of our team on the TMS team, and we're very excited to have him there and also launching the new Tech Stack radio program starting in January. Alan, good to have you here, friend.
Yeah, thanks for that. Learned a lot, and good collaborative meeting. Good to see so many great minds come together and talk, you know, and come up with great solutions. So this week, a couple of interesting things going on. Digital mortgage software provider Maxwell, one of the names that you hear often, and some people aren't sure if they're a lender or a software provider. They just raised $3 million to fund their growth. And they were also a winner in the Housing Wire magazine's 2017 Tech 100. They completed the round of funding with a group called Anthemis. And they also participated Route 66 Ventures and Assurant. Maxwell said that the new funding will help the company to capitalize on accelerated growth and to further increase its pace of innovation. And the company said that since its launch in mid-2016, the platform has facilitated over 6 billion mortgages, equivalent to the volume of a top 25 lender. The group also recently took part in a $7 million Series A round of funding for Matic Insurance, which is a company that we've been following on the program here. And earlier this year, Matic and Maxwell announced a partnership integrating their platforms together. So very interesting, you know, end of the year. I think a lot of things start to wind down, or folks that are looking to do capital usually doesn't happen until next year. So good to hear that they were able to complete that this year. In addition, David, I saw a very interesting LoanDepot announced a venture that's also a bit of a milestone for the team. As stated in their press release, they've joined forces with industry-leading real estate platform OfferPad, which is a direct home buying and selling platform. And they're pleased to work with OfferPad to lend their expertise to a mortgage partnership soon to become available for their clients. And according to a survey that they conducted, more than 95% of homeowners reported stress from the transition from one home to another. And so the partnership is the first of its kind to be an instant offer opportunity and a mortgage platform to solve for their frustrations. You know, so that sort of brings the real estate side of the transaction directly into mortgage. And so I think
right,
more efficiencies on that side. Interesting statistic. You and I were talking the other day. We follow some of the analytics coming out of Ellie Mae. Well, their millennial tracker, they just put out a new report, an interesting statistic that they've been looking at. Millennial men who were listed as the primary borrower for a home loan were approved for an average of $197,000, actually $197,820 in October, which was $11,253 more than millennial women who were approved for an average loan amount of $186,567. What they're saying is that women were approved for lower loan amounts, but they closed loans much faster. It took women an average of 42 days to close a loan. Yes, 42 days to close a loan, regardless of whether it was for a purchase or refinance, and took a men an average of 43 days. So only one day separate. But what was interesting?
That's minuscule. So you say they're a day faster than my wife's faster than
I am.
There's no question about that.
Women were also approved with a lower FICO score than men. But ultimately, what they're saying is, while men make up the larger percentage of overall millennial borrowers, most of them are married. So they've been tracking this year, and they're saying 60% of women who were listed as the primary borrower in October were single, compared to 42% of men. So there's actually a larger amount of single women purchasing homes. So it's a track that they're following. One other thing I wanted to mention is testing automation. Interesting article that I read this past week at DZON, which is Developer Zone. And what they're doing is this article is talking about bringing artificial intelligence to automated testing. So as you and many of our listeners know, manual testing versus automated testing is a new trend, especially when you look at continuous delivery and continuous development, which is the process of having small releases and automatically deploying them and automatically testing against those to validate that they're accurate. It's a fully automated process. So what this article talks about is you should be testing smarter, not harder. Right, which is a term we've all heard. You know, you want to work smarter, not harder. So very interesting play on the pun there. But what they're saying, Gerd Weishar, chief product officer at Tenesius, who said the key to making their software development smarter is more efficient is using artificial intelligence. And this is where it gets interesting. What they're saying is, by incorporating machines that can accurately imitate the human behavior, testers can move beyond traditional manual testing models and toward a precision-based model. And what they're saying is that deep learning will actually take the interactions of an end user and use those to recognize changes and accurately determine what to test. So rather than you scripting and building your automated test, they're saying that they're going to collect behavior of the actual end users, different end users, and use those based on risk metrics and the information that those capture to automatically create more test cases and to test the platform. And so for anyone listening to the program or has teams that use automated testing, they probably know that it's very hard to re-simulate what happens in a production environment. So this is an interesting technology, I think, that will expand but will help us get there. And, you know, I'll leave us today so we can get over to Ryan.
Yeah.
Green Monday. And so
Green Monday.
That's right. Just like Cyber Monday, it's more appealing to millennials and Gen X. 60% of those under 40 buying their holiday gifts online compared to just 40%. And it was actually, so in 2014, it was $1.6 trillion, and it's now since more than doubled that with $2.5 billion. And so what's very interesting is Green Monday got its name from eBay. In 2007, it was the busiest day, which is the second Monday in December. And after that time, it was the last day shoppers could get gifts in the mail so they would arrive in time by Christmas. So eBay christened it the Green Monday for two reasons. First, green meant revenue for the company. And second, eBay markets online shopping as environmentally friendly. So today is Green Monday. So if you have a chance to get out there, today's the last day. Well, actually, shipping's so much quicker now since 2004. But if you have a chance, you might as well help our statistics and analytics for those big data number crunchers go out and purchase your gifts today.
That's good. That's funny. That is funny. Well, that's good. Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it very much. And I know you've got an appointment with our guest right afterwards. You're going to be signing up and getting set up with CardTap. So I think that's very cool.
That's right.
Very pleased
Super
with that.
Excited.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good. Folks, we're going to be right back after
Thank
this
you.
Brief word. You bet, Alan. Appreciate it. And we're going to be right back. We are going to be talking to our good friend, Jim Jump, over at ArchMI. Jim?
Let me tell your audience a little bit about ArchMI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Very good. Appreciate the wonderful relationship we have with our friends over there at ArchMI. And without further ado, let's get over to the Profit Doctor, also known as Andy Schell. Or is it Andy Schell, also known as the Profit Doctor? I think you're getting too well known as the Profit Doctor, but it's good to have you here, bud. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's a duality of personality. At least that's how I explain my erratic behavior.
Hey, well, multiple personality syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I struggle from that. So we're 3 weeks away from the year end. So at 12/31/17, you can no longer enter into a tax event as a person that will affect your tax return, because we pay taxes on a cash basis. So you actually have to mail the check for it to count. And some would even say it should clear your bank for it to count. So now's the time to find those last-minute deductions. We want to make sure we pay our property tax before the end of the year. We want to make certain that any of those charitable contributions that we would like to make, we want to do that now. We want to also be sure and fund our 401k. We can fund it up to $18,000. And if you're 50 years and older, you can fund it up to $24,000. So make those 401k contributions to lower your income. Also, one of the things we also like to check is, if you have a joint income, it's good to go ahead and pull your pay stubs from both spouses and add it together and look at the joint combined income relative to the combined amount of federal tax withheld, to make certain you're not going to be too terribly surprised when you get to April, and make sure that you actually have withheld the minimum amount required. And it's possible to have that become an issue with a joint income if you're both like two married people who are claiming married and multiple exemptions on their W-4, they're probably not withholding enough. So we want to be sure and check that. So that's just one of those things that happens, comes along every year. We have to watch these things and see what happens. So that's it, Dave. Just a quick tax update.
Good stuff.
We got year end coming up soon.
Yeah, you're one of my go-to guys when it comes to the tax season. You are a wealth of information, and people are trying to struggle with that. But you were starting to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Alan gave a great point. Anybody who has questions about HMDA should go read Getting It Right. Because what's funny to me is that when it comes to taxes, people don't think twice about calling up their CPA. When it's time to have a contract looked at, people don't think twice about calling a lawyer. But when it comes to regulatory compliance, everybody tries to do it on their own. And there are regulatory experts. I mean, both you and I, Dave, have been in the regulated environment for 40 years. But you got to start by getting the right information. So get that Getting It Right handbook and read it. And don't assume that you understand everything. And sometimes some of the regulatory requirements may be different than you thought it would be. And sometimes they don't make any sense. But it doesn't matter. It's the rule. So read it, understand it, and
that's so true.
It's kind of a do-it-yourself thing. Mortgage lenders tend to do regulatory compliance at, you know, DIY, and I like DIY, but sometimes you got to just really get an expert.
You do. And there's some good resources online, but there's don't. It's like when it comes to taxes or doing your tax planning or financial analysis. I mean, it is just so nice to get someone like you. And you are also – is it okay to tell people that you're about your PhD, or am I not supposed to let that out of bed? We're going to be very soon. See, we're going to say you have a great personality. You have multiple identities. That's what it is. So you're about ready to add another series of letters behind your name. I know you're working on. I think that is so cool, and I just want to shout it out and give you a shout out of that. Celebrate that.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. You know, I've got three masters and a doctorate on the way, so how many is enough? Well, you don't know. You know, you just got to keep adding the letters. I have to keep up with my brother. My brother's a psychologist, and so he's got tons of letters after his name, so I have to do the same. And can I do a quick shout-out, Dave, on the regulatory thing?
Yeah.
I mean, you can call Dave. He knows stuff. You can call me. I know stuff. One of the guys is, like, the expert in the field. There's a bunch of them, but one of the ones that I really like because he's a really easy guy to talk to when he speaks in English instead of regulatory ease, and that's Troy Garris at Weiner Brodsky Kider.
Yes.
He's one of the partners there. He's based in Dallas. He is easy to talk to. He knows his stuff. He can help you with regulatory details. Now, he's a lawyer, so it's not free. But you'll get the right answer, and you don't have to keep worrying about it.
Great, good point. Yeah, it's a good shout-out. They're a good firm. They do a great job, and so that's good. That's good. Say hi to Troy when you talk to him. I talk to his boss all the time,
absolutely.
Mitch, and it's a good. Excellent. Appreciate you all being here with us, and Andy's also talks a lot about KPIs, or key performance indicators. So let's go over to John Maynell and get the KPI of the week this week. John, what do you have for us?
Thanks very much, Dave. Always great to be here. And this week's key performance indicator focuses on one of Alice's favorite topics, namely the underwriting process. And the KPI is submitted to initial decision. This is generally measured in hours, and you can either use this to measure an entire department's average turn time or even individual underwriters. Very effective if you're using balanced multi-metric scorecards to fine-tune the behaviors of individual staff members. This measurement can also guide an organization to areas upstream from underwriting that contribute to this initial cycle time, like processing, setup, or even sales, to help ensure that people in those areas produce complete and accurate files that make the absolute best use of the underwriter's time. So the broad scope makes this a very powerful metric and shows yet again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you again and turn it back to you.
So much appreciate the KPI of the week. We get a lot of feedback from folks on this. And if you're looking to look at ways in which you can measure your key performance indicators, a great way to start is to start with what you can get already inside of. It comes packaged within Motivity. Check it out, MotivitySolutions.com. So we're thrilled to have had all of this. Now we're going to get into the main reason for the program. We got Ryan, main reason for the program. Everything that we've done is very main reason. But today we have with us Ryan Leopold, who is with CardTap, founder of CardTap. And Ryan, so good to have you with us, friend. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
Well, I love innovation, and I love what you're doing when it comes to innovation. And you and I were on a mastermind together, and I was hearing, what's this CardTap thing? And I'm always looking for some innovation to this age-old business card that we hand out. And while there are some other things out there, there's probably nothing that I've seen is as comprehensive and centric to the mortgage industry. So let's get into it. So before we start talking about some of the innovation that you've seen in the market, and again, we're going to keep it to innovation, not going to make it an infomercial now, but we do want to learn about CardTap, so we'll get to that a little bit later. But for those that may not know who you are, let's get into and let our listeners get to know you. So, Ryan, tell us a little about yourself and your company.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's Ryan Leopold. I was a mortgage originator for 15 years at about $700 million in production in my origination days. And I just kind of looked at the business different and said, everything about the business I looked at was being about marketing and branding, about getting your name out there and making sure they're always top of mind, front and center. So like a lot of loan originators, I'd do postcards and email drip campaigns and social media and video, but always wanted to find the newest and greatest way to get my brand and my information out there. And that's kind of how it all came about. Was mobile is kind of the next wave of ways of connecting with consumers and realtors. And that's kind of how CardTap came about.
Well, it's a great story. I encourage people to check it out. We'll give everyone the information at the end of this segment how they can learn more about it. But there is an overall big push towards mobile in this world that we live in. It's crossing all industries, and we're focusing on the mortgage industry. So give us some insights into the importance of being mobile first. And if you could explain the difference between mobile ready, mobile first, if you could kind of help our listeners sort through that, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest thing is like everybody has cell phones these days, right? Everybody has smartphones, and everybody is on their phone doing everything. And the first time in 2017 is that mobile searches have actually outpaced desktop searches. So that trend of people having their computer at work and coming home on their laptop and maybe checking emails or doing a little shopping has changed, that most activity for most people, whether it be business or personal, is done through mobile. So companies are just seeing that trend. And I think that mortgage is a little bit behind the curve a little bit of making sure that either an organization or a loan officer has that presence on the one thing that people look at, gosh, statistics say up to 150 times a day. So that's where I think that the organizations and originators need to make sure they're focusing on mobile as being a delivery platform, a platform to get their brand out there on.
I think everyone's starting with mobile, and they then will go to the desktop and look at doing more a deeper search. But, you know, when it comes to typical customers who are trying to get a mortgage, do you have some statistics or some insights as to the type of customer mortgage lenders should be watching for? Is it just millennials, or is it beyond that?
I think if an originator organization basically focuses their attention on delivering content to consumers in a means that they're asking for, you can focus on millennials, then I think that'll have a trickle-down effect on everybody else. So millennials, that's all they know is digital. That's all they know is mobile. 34% of home buyers out there today are millennials, and you have another 28% are Gen Xers. So if you look at it, 62% of all buyers are 50 years of age, if not younger, and everybody's mobile.
Yeah.
So I think that the originators and organizations really need to focus on that reality, that that's where people are and that's where their buyers are. And they're demanding that there's content online that's mobile friendly and mobile optimized. And if they don't, they're just kind of moving on. So I think that trend is out there. And the loan officer community is kind of getting older, right? The average age of the loan officer is 53. The average age of the millennial buyer is 28. And from a technology standpoint or from a way of doing business, there's just a disconnect that I think that needs to be tightened up a lot more.
So if we're seeing changes in demographics and we're seeing something that we're starting to tune in, that's what we're trying to do with this series of podcasts. When it comes to communication and content for today's buyer, what are they looking for? Everything is about content, and in the most concise manner, what do they need to communicate, and what kind of content should they be providing? Should we all be providing?
Yeah, great question. So I think it's, you know, everybody, so the buyer's online doing research a lot of times before they even make a connection with, let's say, an originator, right? So when they're going online, they're seeing what information's out there to educate them on first-time home buyer programs, low-down payment programs, tips for a buyer, anything that's going to make that process easier and more efficient for them. So even if they get a referral from a friend or real estate agent, they're still probably going to Google that loan officer and want to get to know them a little bit. So the more that originator can create content that's going to be of value to their end audience, that's going to draw them in and want them to work with that person that much more, as opposed to loan officers saying, hey, I'm the greatest for all these different reasons. The consumer doesn't care anymore. They want to be educated, and then they want to choose the professionals that are going to help them through the process as efficiently as possible. And that's what consumers want now, right? They want information, and they want it fast, so they can make informed decisions.
It's the information that's up there that's really critical. As we near the end of 2017 and we're looking forward to 2018, I certainly am looking forward to the new year. Do you see any trends that are emerging that our listeners should be preparing for?
Well, I think you guys talked about it earlier, that we just have a shift in the market, that we all know that refinances are going away. The MBA just said at their latest conference that refinances in 2018 are going to be down 28%, and that right now, for the first time, new home purchase applications are outpacing refinances. So it's all going to be about purchase business, right? So if that's the case, you have more and more loan officers competing for a smaller pool of the pie when it comes to home buyers, and the smaller pool of real estate agents. So I think it's really coming down to loan officers finding a different and a more unique way to attract the buyers that are out there and set themselves apart, and to make it, at the end of the day, make it easier for realtors to work with them and make it easier for consumers to work with them. Because like I mentioned before, whether it be a millennial or anybody else, everybody wants to have an easier experience, and that's what online and mobile can do. So they want to have that online, mobile, digital experience, but they also want to have that relationship with the professionals they choose. So it's going to be that combination of really differentiating
and
making sure you're in front of them all the time.
When you look at the strategic level for business planning, what are the key points that you'd recommend our listeners keep in mind for attracting more customers so they can make more money?
In my origination day, I was really big into business planning, right? So I was really clear on this is how much money I want to make in this year. And then I'd have to backtrack the numbers, say, okay, what's my average loan amount? If my average loan amount is this and I want to make this, that means I have to do X amount of transactions. And I'd backtrack and say, if I need to do X amount of deals, that means I need to have X amount of applications, means I need X amount of appointments, means I need X amount of leads. And then I'd kind of work my whole business of how am I going to get more leads, because that certain percentage equates to how many closed deals I'm going to get, right?
Yeah.
And in the market today, we got to look at it differently and say, there's opportunity to capture more of the people you're already having those engaged conversations with, because I think a lot of originators or a lot of people in sales in general just miss out on opportunities.
Right, right. That's so true. And it's the engagement. I mean, one of the things when you're looking at how to connect with people, what are you seeing people? Is Facebook or LinkedIn, is that where you're seeing some of the ways to connect, or is it other means?
Well, I think that every
What's
time you
thought?
Have an opportunity, so every time you're out and just think about it, like at a Christmas party, at a birthday party, an event, at an open house, you're having these interactions, right? You're talking to people and they ask you what you do for work. You say you're an originator and they say, great, I'm looking to buy a house. Do you have a card on you? And so a lot of people go, great, if they actually have a business card on and they hand over a business card, right? But the studies show that if they hand somebody a business card, it's an 88 to 90% chance that card's going to be lost or thrown away.
Yes.
And every time that occurs, that's a missed opportunity. So kind of my point is, if you know the how much you're trying to close and what your goals are, capture every opportunity and make sure that you're able to have a tool in place to capture their information, you control the follow-up, and deliver your content in a more efficient way. And the more that you can capture those opportunities and get them into your pipeline or get them into your funnel, you don't have to be paying for all these other lead sources or everything else. You can do it just from the people you talk to every day.
Yeah.
I think what we mentioned before and we talked about before, it's all about content, right? You want to make sure that you have a good social presence, you have a good, strong, mobile optimized website, a good mobile 1003 so somebody can actually go through the process on their phone. Then it all comes down to what's the delivery tool of that content. And that's kind of where we come into play is, you know, we look at this as the digital business cards antiquated and old school, and it's going to be a high probability of being lost or thrown away, that mobile is really the key. But mobile doesn't have to be looked at as just an app, right? It can be looked as a way to distribute your information and capture their information so that way you control the follow-up, and that's what a good mobile strategy can do for an originator or an organization, is having that frictionless, seamless mobile experience for originators. That's really the key, I think, in today's market.
Well, let me give a testimony to that effect. Pat Casey, who is Executive Vice President and Director of Sales and Marketing at Fulton Mortgage Company, which is the division of Fulton Bank, Pat and I were sitting at the chairman's reception at the MBA annual conference, and we were getting along. We were cut from the same kind of personality cloth, and so we were both bubbling on about something, talking about the industry, and he says, give me your card. I said, even one better, I'm going to send you my business card via CardTap. He goes, we use CardTap. That's the coolest thing in the world. So we did the exchange of each other's contact information. I ended up picking up his card just because I wanted to have a picture of it, get it into my head. I kind of see things by image. But it was very effective, and he was commenting about how powerful it is. So let's get some more details about CardTap. Now, where did this idea come from, and how could mortgage professionals use it? You've told me several stories about how people are using it very effectively. Let's get into some of that.
Yeah, so we mentioned at the beginning is that, you know, my partner and I, when we were originating, it was all about, we looked at our business all about marketing and branding, all about making sure that we got our information in front of the people that matter most to our business, clients, friends, family, referral partners, everybody. So that's when he came up with the idea and said, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we had our own mobile app that we can now easily share with clients, realtors, friends, and family, and now we can share our website on there, our social media, our video, our testimonials, maybe have some tools in there, make sure they can easily connect with me and my team. And so that's where it came from, is really creating that solution for ourselves, a frictionless, almost replacement of a digital business card that you could easily share with people to get your information to somebody but more importantly, as you share your app with somebody, that you capture their information so you can control the follow-up. So it's a tool to help loan officers actually...
Go ahead, finish that thought.
The more part of it actually is a tool to actually help loan officers capture more leads while earning more referrals by making that referral process faster and more efficient because you can track everything on the back end. And that's really what kind of brings it all together.
Talk about that one loan officer that's using this tool and how many people is he connected with and how powerful it is. I love those stories. Talk about that.
Oh, we have one of our originators who I talked to a couple days ago who's been with us for a couple years. He just gets the premise. He signed up it's the minute he heard about it. And he shared his app with 1,400 people over the last couple years. It's been used 33,000 times because we track everything on the back end. So he just said every time he has an opportunity to share his app, he's getting it out there. Been used 33,000 times, and he has 619 referrals from his app over the last couple of years. Because think about it, right?
Just like, from an app. Just from this
just
app.
Having out, right? Because if you share with somebody, and what's unique about our platform is like the icon of the app can be the originator's picture and their name. So if I share my app with you and you're on your phone, which you're on every minute of the day, and you see my picture and you see my name, that's his branding and that's marketing. And then when they open it up, they can call me or my team, they can go to my website, they can apply online, they can check loan status, they can use some of the tools. It's making sure that your brand and your information and your process is right there front and center on the one thing they look at every minute of the day. That's what helps loan officers capture more business and stay better engaged with the people that matter to their business.
Alice, I'm going to go over to you, Alan, in a minute. But Alice, you got to see this tool. I recommend you guys look at it, or maybe you guys are already using this at Union Home. Are you using it there?
We are not using it at the moment, but I've been looking at the website while we've been talking. And, definitely we have a wonderful marketing department. Our sales team is always looking into the latest and greatest. So maybe they know of it. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. So, as I look at this, I'm interested to see, how easy is this to implement? It seems like, is it integrating with my LOS or my other customer management systems, or is it really just meant to be its own standalone component? So how does this integrate if I already have a CRM?
Yeah, great question. And by the way, Alice, so we have about 110 loan officers at Union that use our platform already. We've had a full pitch to everybody over there, and it's in Bill's hands now. So we're just kind of waiting to hear back if it's something he wants to roll out to everybody.
Cool.
That's good. Alice will be doing the training. Yeah, but she'll be doing the training on it. The good news, Alice, this thing is so easy to use. And people are saying, this is starting to sound like an infomercial, Lickin. I thought you didn't do infomercials. If you find something that really is working with people and you get excited about it, we want to help you listeners find tools to how you can connect more successfully. That's what this whole series is about. So, yes, I am using this, and those that are, like Patrick Casey over at Fulton Mortgage, and it sounds like 100 and some folks there, this is very effective. It is most effective for the loan originator because it's great for those applications where you're someone that wants to have your image in front of them all the time. This may not be applicable to everything that's out there, but was certainly for loan officers, very powerful tool because it's the content. I want to talk briefly, and we'll run over to Alan, but the content, like you can put videos. We were talking earlier about how important content is, and you can push content out through this mobile app, and it's, I don't want to say it's unlimited, but it's got all the ability to get as much information out that we want before we start talking to them. It's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, and to answer the rest of Alice's question is that our platform is a delivery tool for any content that a loan officer or an organization is going to have. And it's seamless integration. So whether it be their LOS, so instead of us creating an apply online link and capturing all that data, all we're going to do is, hey, hit apply online. It goes to the apply online link that Union, for example, already has out there. It's connecting right to the LOS. And from a CRM standpoint, the whole idea is an originator shares their app with a client, friend, family, realtor, anybody. By sharing it, they get a name, phone, or an email address. That information can actually go directly from the app, directly into a CRM, and now on the backside, a loan officer or the marketing department create campaigns around those individuals because a lot of times consumers only get into a CRM once they do a 1003. This actually, as long as the loan officer shares the app, it automatically creates a lead, so it actually captures every single person they have an engage opportunity with And now they can actually start a campaign and drip to them and capture the business that way as well.
That's very effective, very powerful. Alan, we're getting out of time here, bud, so go ahead and jump in with a couple questions and your perspective as the future co-host of the Tech Stack Radio. This is pretty cool technology, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Ryan and I actually spoke last week or the week before as we've been looking to have my own profile set up and so I can test it and use it myself. So I won't really ask many questions. I know a lot of stuff. I think I say one thing, Ryan, that I'll let you sort of just mention is that you're not only in the mortgage industry, you have other industries. And so your app really works. It's universal, right? You build the content and the profile as needed and the distribution of that content, as David was just mentioning. So I'll let you talk about that just for a quick moment. And I'm excited this afternoon to actually start the process to get the installation for my own account set.
Perfect. Yeah, great point, Alan. So we started off in mortgage because obviously that was the background that we had, but the premise is still the same in every industry, whether it's insurance, real estate, coaching, consulting, anything, is that the platform is just meant to be simple, right? Think of it like a digital business card that you can easily share so you can distribute your content. So our platform allows any industry to come in and create their own mobile experience. And again, as a way to distribute information and distribute content and track everything on the back end. So, absolutely.
And, you know, Ryan, the other thing we talked about was, you know, you have a team of developers. You work with your customers. You're listening to their needs, and so you're building out new features and finding ways to help them engage more. Do you have anything on the docket that you'd like to talk about or mention that's up and coming, that's exciting?
Yeah. So always again. 5 years of doing this, we've learned from our current customers and always building out our platform based on the needs of our customers while at the same time keeping the premise the same, which is easy. Everything has to be simple. If it gets too complicated, that's how you lose distribution between everybody. So, yeah, the tracking is a big part of that we've added over the last couple of years. Co-branding has been added over the last couple of months. More text capabilities where you share your app with someone and now you want to go through and send a text message to a group of realtors. You can now go into your database, put a message together, hit send, it'll go out to everybody, every realtor you have in your database. Or home buyers who haven't bought yet or maybe on the fence, you can send messages to them. So things like that, and making our platform more than just a mobile app, being an overall mobile marketing platform is really where everything is enhanced to or have gone to over the last 6 months. So that's what we're really excited about, is
very interesting.
Just an app overall platform.
Well, you can learn more, listeners, by going to the Lickin' on Lending website /CardTap and check out the video that's there that Ryan and I did. It'll give you a lot more insight, and then you, of course, can click from there and get a hold of Ryan. But if someone just say, I can't stand it, I want to get a hold of you right away, what's the best phone number for people to reach you at?
Yep, my phone number is 425-947-9273. And they can always email me at Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at card, C-A-R-D, tap, T-A-P-P, .com.
Yeah, check it out. That was a good video. There's a really informative video on our website, the Lickin' on Lending website, lickinonlending.com. Check it out. So good to be with you all. Ryan, I appreciate you taking time out of your holiday season to here join us today. So thank you so much. Good information. I encourage our listeners to check out your product. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Next week, folks, we're going to have Marcia Davies on, Chief Operating Officer for the MBA. And we're going to be talking about and discussing Empower. It's what's going on within the MBA. A very exciting initiative. And it's focused on bringing women along in the mortgage industry. It has been a lot of guys in this industry. We have women all over the industry, but it's really empowering them. And this is not one of those women libs type thing. It is truly about empowering so many people within our industry. And I tell you, a lot of us guys are getting behind this. It was an overwhelming successful event. They had an overwhelming successful event in Denver at the annual conference. We're going to be talking about that. And Alice joined me on that interview, so it's going to be very exciting to share that with you next week. Good to have you with us, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week, and we will have programming throughout the holidays. Talk to you soon. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.